Hey guys, before you get to today's podcast, so Tony and I recorded this on a Wednesday at like 5:30, so that's before we found out the Pacers game was postponed. Luckily, we planned to post the show originally on Friday anyways, so it's not really any talk about the Pelicans game or anything like that, which they didn't play, so that sucks, but it's what it is. It's going to post on a Thursday instead, but it's previewing the upcoming Celtics game and the upcoming Knicks game, and I think it'll still be a good one no matter what, so enjoy today's podcast.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast and a staff writer at anycornrows.com. We said we would finish the week with a preview of this weekend's game. So that's exactly what we're going to do. So I bring on my fellow co-host, Tony East, to talk about this upcoming games. Tony, how are you doing?
Good, but I should clarify our scheduling thing. We had a challenge today with some other conflicts to talk about the Pelicans game. So you've already seen it. We will talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're actually recording this on a Wednesday to post on a Friday, but we promise it won't. Not that much should happen in the Pelicans game. And Tony will cover it all tomorrow. So, or yesterday, because it's on a Friday. So cover it all on Thursday.
So we are recording this pre-Pelicans game. So if you hear something like about an injury that's missed or something, that is why.
Yeah, hopefully, knock on wood, no injuries. So Tony, I teased you before when we were talking pre-show that I had a crazy theory that you're going to knock down right away. So I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you before we get to all the important news.
I can't wait.
So I was thinking about this. The Cavs are completely imploding right now.
Completely.
LeBron seems to not like his owner, doesn't talk to his GM, whatever it is. He's completely out on Cleveland, it seems like, and he's definitely leaving this summer.
Yeah.
All right. So LeBron probably has two goals in mind. One, he wants to make the max or close to the max, because I think after his stint in Miami, he realizes giving up money is not worth it. Like when he took less money and Pat Riley kind of screwed him around and messed with him in sort of some ways. And he wants to win, like I said, wants to win a championship. So if you throw in a third factor that he needs to be in the East to win a championship, because the West is loaded. You know, you got OKC, you could bring back PG, sadly. You got the Warriors. I mean, LeBron could join Houston, but they don't really have cap space unless they can move Ryan Anderson, which is a possibility, but they don't really have any cap space if they want to re-sign Paul, unless Paul takes a big discount. So that leaves the Eastern Conference. What teams, if he joins, does he actually have a legitimate shot at getting to the NBA Finals in the East? That leaves really two teams, if you think about it, the Pacers and the 76ers. Am I wrong about that?
The Celtics?
So I eliminated the Celtics in my head because I don't think he can play with Kyrie. That seems like, I know it's, we don't know, but it seems like there's something there and he can't play with Kyrie.
That's justifiable reasoning.
Right? So I'm not saying this is a crazy theory. It's supposed to be just kind of funny and entertaining in some sense. So but theoretically he fits right into this Pacers roster and they might be the best roster suited to play with him and to win a championship next year if he joined it. That's in the Eastern Conference.
I have no comment.
And they can pay him close to max. They can get him they can clear $40 million in cap space and pay him. So
I bet a significant chunk of money that the next team LeBron James is on, he gets signed and traded to from the Cavs.
I was wondering, but will the Cavs want to do that? If he has deteriorated relationship with Dan Gilbert and it's so terrible, do you think they'll want to even like give him anything?
Yeah, I think they'd rather get something for him than let him leave.
So Houston is a likely scenario. I think we can all agree Houston is probably the place where he will end up if they can figure out. What's the sign and trade move?
I don't agree.
What's your then thought? If Clippers, if some scenario where
I think that the Cavs are in the lead, and then there's probably a four-way tie between the Sixers, the Clippers, the Spurs, and the Rockets.
Okay, Spurs, I don't know. I mean, they have to sign and trade. That's it. So you're talking about they need to have to actually do a sign and trade, which I'm not sure they'll do. So that could throw the Spurs out of it.
All the teams except Philly probably have to. I think the Clippers could get this space, but it'd be crazy. But the Pacers have it now, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think the Clippers also, didn't LeBron say he didn't want to play for the Clippers? I thought I saw that report.
No, that was not true, I think is what that was. Because he refuted it. Someone else said that, and he refuted it.
Okay, so I think Houston and Clippers are probably the front runners. I think then Philly and Spurs are second. I'm not sure there's a sign-in for just because I don't think the Cavs will do it. I think if he leaves again, they're just going to tell him to F off.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, so and if he wants to, and you know, those teams, I'd say if he wants to stay in the East, there's not a better fit, really, than the Pacers and 76ers, who – Pacers are a little older, more veteran experience, so just throwing it out there. It's not probably going to happen, but
I'll flip this question to you. If you got offered as Kevin Pritchard, LeBron James, right now for Victor Oladipo, what would you say?
Is that enough to win the East? do you have enough to win the East? Just if you do LeBron for Vic straight up, you're going to be.
That's not the question. The question was if the Cavs offer LeBron for Vic right now, what do you say?
It's a tough one.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. I know. It's hard. It's actually hard.
Because if you don't win this year, he's leaving anyways, and then you're kind of screwed.
Like, what if tomorrow the Pacers trade – or sorry, we're recording on Wednesday, so the trade deadline's tomorrow for us. Like, what if the Pacers trade Vic for LeBron and then Domas for some – and Collison for Kemba or something, and then they just roll out Kemba, LeBron, Miles Turner, Thad the rest of the way?
That would be an incredible flip, an incredible maneuvering by no, but I do think there is some thought. If the Pacers, let's say they exceed expectation this year and make the East Finals, you know, let's say they maybe beat the Cavs, because they have beat the Cavs 3 out of 4 times. I'm not saying they're gonna do it in the playoffs. Maybe they do in a first or second round series. There, it's not like out of the world that LeBron looks at the Pacers and says, wow, that team is really good. They got some veteran players. They have enough cap space to sign me straight up, and they have picks in the future they can trade away to get me assets. Like, it's not unthinkable.
It's pretty unthinkable, but it'd be, it's not all the pieces are lined up for it to be plausible.
Yeah. That's put. Yeah. You know, we talk about how, why it's valuable to have cap space and going after a star. Now LeBron's the biggest fish, but like, you know, Isaiah Thomas was like Pacer fans wanted the Pacers go after next season because if he was actually healthy, something like that. Like, if you have a max cap space, it's extremely valuable to the best players in this league. So just a thought. I'm sure he will never come here, and I'm sure it will never happen. But
no, they're gonna sign Paul George next summer. Who cares?
No, I think PG might be staying in Oklahoma City the way it looks, what it's going right now.
No, he's coming to Indiana, man. He's coming back.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, and the Pacers have the type of players, the only issue with the Pacers is Lance, but they have the locker room where, like, LeBron maybe wouldn't be mad to come here because they don't have, like, it's not like Vic is some selfish superstar and, you know, he's, like, willing to defer and things like that. So there's some things going the Pacers' way, I think, more than you realize. And if they make the East Finals, it's a legitimate chance because...
So in reality, they have no chance, but I do like the spirit here.
If they make the East Finals, I think they have a shot. That's, you know, they probably have no shot in the East Finals anyways, right?
Well, it's a big hurdle.
It's a big hurdle, but let's say you draw the 4-5, you beat Washington in the first round or maybe the Cavs, and then you somehow upset the number one seed Toronto because they're the Toronto Raptors, and, you know, who knows if they show up in the playoffs every year. You know, sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. It just depends.
They're decimating people right now.
Yeah, no, they're awesome. And then you end up playing Celtics, and maybe you lose to Kyrie, but you make it to these finals, and maybe you go 6 games because whatever, and all of a sudden you look like the, you know, you're like the sexy team of like, oh, maybe that, you know, one more guy, and that team's going to be like championship level kind of thing, and momentum shifts, and you never know. The narratives always change. You never know what happens.
Hold the cap space for 2019, sign Kawhi, get him back to Indiana. Title town.
All right, we can move on. all right, moving on to actually some real Pacer stuff.
Let's talk about Darren Collison.
Yeah, so we missed it on Monday. We recorded on Sunday, and he got it reported on Monday. He had knee surgery. He'll be out 2 to 3 weeks, which probably means he'll be out till the All-Star break and return after. If I had to guess, it seems like it probably was a timing thing. It was like, hey, if you have surgery now, you only miss this many games versus if you have it later. Something like that. So they actually probably give him 4 weeks to come back, theoretically. You include the All-Star break, I think, or close to it.
It's like 3 and a couple days, but it's a 2 to 3 week timeline, so that's great.
Yeah, it's probably why they had it. He had surgery now, because I think he's been having this issue all season. And he's kind of, it's like kind of in that area where he doesn't quite need to have it yet. But I think the team and him probably said, oh, if you have it now, you'll be ready for a playoff run, which would be good. And it's probably, you know, they probably said they're not going to trade him and things like that. So that's good. But it's really, how do they survive it now? I talked about it on Wednesday's pod that I think they'll be fine. They'll be, as long as Vic is not out again, like he was on Monday, which I think he's going to play Wednesday. Hopefully he's not sick anymore. The flu is pretty bad this year, so who knows? But hopefully he's not sick anymore. I assume he has the flu just because everybody does.
He's playing against the Pelicans as before recording.
Yeah, but so he won't. He'll be fine. Flu, he'll survive the flu. He's a young, healthy guy. Those people always survive the flu all the time. But they started Kojo on Monday in his place. If Vic's healthy, maybe they start Joe Young Wednesday. We'll find out. Who do you think they start, Joe or Joseph, to start with?
Oh, Kojo, for sure.
You don't like the theory that Kojo and Lance come off the bench together because they have that chemistry? Or you?
No, Vic's back. Don't start Lance.
Well, no, you're not going to start Lance, but you bring – you like to bring Joseph.
Kojo, Vic, Bowie on 1, 2, 3.
Okay, but like, there's some credence that they like to have the chemistry-wise and have Kojo with Lance off the bench is a chemistry thing. But
against – yeah, the Wizards, man. I just like randomly got super tired while I was talking. Against the Wizards in the second half, they started Joe Young and Kojo because they wanted Lance off the bench. Like, they really don't want to start him. So that pretty much guarantees it's Kojo if Vic's back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I just think there might be something to that. But would you like to also see – I like to see at least a little bit of Vic at point guard. They have enough – you know, they have this shooting guard who has – His turnover rate is like extremely better than it's ever been. I think he's down to like 2 turnovers a game, which is like 4 at one point or 5. He's averaging. So his decision making has gotten significantly better. And I like, you know, if his decision making is better, and could Vic be a future point guard? And so I'd like to see some of that. So, I mean, you could even maybe a lineup where you start Lance at the 2 and you have Vic be your main point guard. I mean, it's really experimenting, but you play the Nets, who are not very good, so you could try something.
I think Vic will play point guard just so they can play play him with Corey and Lance and have Lance be the 3, because like they had to play Ben Moore at backup 3 against the Wizards, and we saw how that went. And then they had the Lance, Joe Young, Corey lineup. I know I said it correctly, but Corey Joe sounds like one player when it was 2 in that case. And that didn't work too well either, so you kind of need more of a wing rotation going on, and they had nothing. So if playing Vic at point guard helps with that, then they should do that.
And they do that a lot end of games sometimes. They like the Joseph Lance, like you said, Vic lineup at the end of games. Yeah. It's like a kind of like a pseudo 3 guard, pseudo, like, you know, Lance is like a good guy who can play both between the forward and the 3 and the 2 spot. So it's kind of, and Joseph can play between the 1 and the 2. It's kind of a pseudo 3 guard lineup, which is something that Nate McMillan, who comes from the George Karl kind of style, is something George Karl loved to do too, is play 3 guards at one time.
Yeah, and it works pretty well. Lance has the size and the defense and the energy, and the other two are more steady. So that lineup works. Hopefully that is usable going forward. I know it's just the flu, but it could have lasting effects.
Yeah, it probably won't, but you know, you never know.
I mean, like last, you never know. Rest of the week, and considering Collison's only going to miss 4 more games, that's enough.
Yeah, no, it could affect him. He could be at 90% instead of 100% or 80%, low on fluids. But you know, Vic's about the kind of guy who steps up in times of adversity in some sense. So I'm sure he'll be fine. Hopefully against the Pelicans, they can, you know, the good thing is coming up as they play the Knicks, who are without Porzingis, and they play the Pels without Boogie. So it's they're getting a break on these guys that are missing more important player than the Pacers are missing.
And the Celtics without Horford or Hayward.
Well, yeah.
Aha, I told you I was going to say it.
You were going to say it in there, but that's a good transition. So we think Collison will be fine, or his injury won't be a huge effort to the team. Well, it hurts him.
What? He sat out early in the year with this knee injury. He sat out early in the year with this injury, so we knew he had it. We just didn't know it'd get to the extent where he needed surgery, and it sounds like it's a small abscess, not on the MCL, according to Jeff Stotts of In Street Clothes, which is why it's only a 2 to 3 week recovery, even though normal arthroscopic knee surgeries are 4 to 6. So shouldn't be much at all. Sounds like it's just a normal procedure.
Yeah, and they'll survive without him. They definitely didn't make any chance of winning a playoff series, but they'll survive for four games without him. You can do it. He's not he's important, but he's not the most important. So let's move into the
thankfully, three of the five games without him are the Knicks, Nets, and the Wizards.
Yes. So let's move into our week preview. I teased up at the beginning of the show. We're going to finish the end of the week. We didn't do it on Monday. So the Pacers' third game of the week, first game of this preview is a Friday matchup against the Boston Celtics. Do you have Boston's numbers up, Tony, or do you want me to read them off?
I do have them in front of me. The Celtics are 22nd in pace, 20th in offense, and number one in defense, which who the heck would have expected the Kyrie Irving team to be first in defense?
Well, they have some other good defensive players, though.
They start two rookies in Kyrie Irving, and they are first in defense. Or one rookie, one second-year player in Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown ain't no rookie.
Jaylen Brown's really good.
He is. But if you look at it, a lot of times – younger players are actually better at defense than come in the league because they're not relying on offense. So like you saw that with PG a little bit where he was really good like out of the world defender by his third season, but then it sort of tapered off a little bit as he's gotten more of an offensive load.
Yeah. It's hard to exert that kind of effort on both ends of the court all the time.
Yeah. So I understand that Kyrie Irving was a terrible defender last season. He's been a little better this year, but it's not surprising just because I think they have so much size and they have Horford, who's an incredible, I think, defender. And he's anchoring it a lot of times. And and they've got a really good coach, which is also helps the defense. And they got a lot of things going. They're positive. That definitely could point to you thinking they're having a really good defense.
Yeah, that's fair. And they slow it down. Al Horford's really good at guarding the basket. And Brad Stevens is a genius. And so it kind of makes sense. It's just like the roster, when I think about it, it's weird. But I know they switch like size all the time, and like literally every player on their team is between 6'5 and 6'11. So I guess that's easy.
Yeah, I mean, they truly are like a younger version of kind of Golden State in some sense, where a team that can switch everything almost basically at any time, except maybe on Kyrie, but you really can do it with Steph. But they're kind of that kind of team. One question I have for you, do you think Bojan is going to be a revenge game form or a redemption game more like after what happened last time?
I hope so. Given his current run of play, maybe. But I don't know how – he didn't, like, play great against them other times, but he's been playing really well recently. But that blunder will probably scare him away. Maybe the Celtics will put Terry Rozier on him to get in his head or something.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say, I've been really impressed with Bojan, though, the past three games going on now. I mean, he basically carried them in that Monday game against the Wizards. If it wasn't for him, they were going to lose by 30. So,
oh, yeah. That heat check and 1-3 in the third quarter was so exciting for me. I was like, oh, man, my boy.
you can see it in him, too. He has his confidence back, it looks like. Like, he feels like I can step into any three and hit. Where kind of mid-January, it was kind of shaky, where he was afraid to shoot. You saw that when he only took three shots against – blinging on who they played that Monday, but he only took three shots against the Hornets. Sorry, he only took three shots. So you could definitely see he has some confidence there, which is a good sign at least.
Yeah, he had the one where Otto Porter was all up on him and he just faced up, looked at him for a second, and then just rose up over him and drilled it. It was awesome.
He'll be hard pressed though in this game just because he has to be guarded by either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum.
Yeah, or Marcus Morris. And either way, they're all just studs. So it's going to be tough out for him.
Yeah, but they're also – Pacers have been doing a nice job of trying to get him open off-ball screen, things like that. So maybe they'll run – I mean, especially if he's playing – like if he's in like a game with the Pelicans, they'll just start – they'll continue to run plays for him. You know, they stopped running that like – you know, I'm beginning of the game every time they kind of run the play, but then they kind of go away from it by the mid-quarter. But if he's shooting well, they'll just randomly run an off-ball screen for him to get an open shot sometimes just when they need a shot or whatever in stride.
Yeah, all the time. And that's certainly something that – they'll probably continue to do. And rookies, they're always the worst off ball their rookie year. You know, they can keep up with the ball. They've done that their whole life. But some of the actions that happen in the NBA they've never seen before, and that's what kills them. So if he's being guarded by Tatum or Brown, maybe that's something they can exploit.
Yeah, so then let's move to X factors. My X factor right now, I actually think I'm going to love the matchup of the Kyrie versus Vic because I think – you know, I think right now it might have tapered off a little bit. But at one point, I thought Kyrie and Vic, I think Vic was playing better than Kyrie. There was at least a stretch where he was. I think now Kyrie's kind of taking back the lead. But it'll be interesting to watch the matchup because I think Vic, I don't know if he thinks it yet, but I think Vic is close to Kyrie's level.
Oh, yeah, definitely this year. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. We're taking current stats.
Yeah, then they're close. I don't know if he's better per se. And I think that, like, the level of respect Kyrie gets makes him guard it in a different way that, like, spaces the floor too, which allows him to have solid stats. But, yeah, his 25 points per game, 40% from three, 53% inside the arc at 5'11", he's nasty.
Yes. And Kyrie has been able to deal with defenses basically built around to guard him versus I think Vic has gotten away with not being guarded till recently at like an extremely extreme level that like the best players get, especially the small guards where they'll try to like trap and double team and sort of force them to get the ball out of their hands because they're not big enough to kind of overpower guys.
Yeah, we missed something kind of big to talk about here. Two things.
Go ahead.
Marcus Smart hurt his hand and will miss this game.
Probably traded too.
Yeah, he could have been traded if you're listening to this. We don't know. He broke his hand like punching a painting or something weird. So he'll be out. That's huge. Some wing defense lost for the Celtics. And the other one is that Greg Monroe, we're recording this. He has not played with the team yet, but he could be playing his first game with the Wizards on the tonight that we're recording. Or, oh my gosh, also the Celtics are on a back-to-back. he could be
we playing. Missed a lot.
Yeah, we skipped a lot. He could be playing his first game with them in this game. He could also be playing his first game on a back-to-back after playing the Wizards. But he'll be huge as a backup center and a lefty too. So, you know, Domas and him will be funny to guard each other because they're not used to guarding lefties, obviously. So just something to watch. You know, their center rotation's better, but they're missing a really, really, really good wing defender. But they're on a back-to-back on the road. So that could be the chance for the Pacers.
And if... if they had to make a trade for Tyreke Evans, they could be down a player too, another player per se. That's always a possibility. There's, you know, I know they're on that. They're one of the teams at least wants Tyreke Evans, and he definitely won't play if he's traded that Thursday, that Friday. I mean, it's probably too soon, but
maybe only maybe because they're on a back to back. Only though. Maybe.
Yeah, but then though, I mean, you know, they might have to give up a guy like Terry Rozier in a trade like that. Probably not, but if they have to give up a player. It also weakens their bench by one more, and I'm not sure that, you know, pitchers have seen Greg Monroe twice. I'm not sure him coming off the bench really scares them.
Yeah, but in with Brad Stevens, he'll be a completely different player.
He'll be in the team for a week, so I don't know if he'll be that much different player. Like maybe in a month,
he'll be on the team for a day.
Yeah. The trade is he's already. When does he officially can join the team? Then
they didn't sign him, and I read why, and I can't remember. I really can't. I think they just pay him less money over the rest of the season if they wait days because it prorates down. So they're just waiting until they feel like they have to. But they haven't officially signed him yet.
Then why does – I feel like if I were him, I would be going to the Pelicans trying to get a better offer then.
They can't. The Pelicans can only offer him $2.2 million at the most.
Right, because they have – the Celtics have the Gordon Hayward exception, right?
Exactly, yeah. So they – I mean, the fact that he was able to get $5 million shows that he probably would have gone to the Pels, but money talks, and he had leverage because another team that he liked wanted him. But anyway, yeah, they just finally signed him. So this could be his first game. It could be his second. So still something to watch. He's a good player.
And if it's the back-to-back, they're playing they just played the Raptors.
They're at Washington.
They played the Wizards.
Yep.
Yeah, they have a tough week. They play the top three teams or four of the top six teams in the East, and not including them, obviously, but they play the Cavs, Wizards, Raptors, and Pacers, who are all four teams with 30 wins in the East.
Yeah, and then the Clippers right after.
And they played the tough Blazers before, so it is tough schedule. Maybe that's why they have so many wins, because they've been playing cupcake teams.
Maybe. But you said your X Factor, and then I went on that rant. I like the Vic Kyrie matchup, but, you know, a Bojan bounce back game would be huge. We've seen that with him bouncing back, they've been, you know, they almost won a game without Vic against the Wizards just because he was shooting so well. I mean, they didn't almost win, but they were in it the whole time because of him. They didn't have their two best offensive players that game. So, you know, you can keep him in it. Maybe Thad's a good guy to watch too. If they're switching like size, any of those guys who are involved in those switches could be huge just because if they can take advantage, that's their chance. So, you know, Bojan and Thad are the two guys that I think have the best chance at that, but I'll pick Bojan.
That's a good one. I might be inclined to see how Turner does against Horford. I think Turner actually does better against a Horford style center than a like Howard style, so just because I think Turner likes, you know, Horford's not your traditional bang in the post center. I mean, he has that move and he'll do it, but there's a lot of different things that make him really good. But I think Turner just plays better against those type of centers.
I can't wait for Turner to have Horford's passing one day.
Well, hopefully.
That'd be awesome.
So Butcher-wise, I think last time the Pacers played them, Jalen Brown, sorry. He's the one that had the incredible first quarter. They made their first 10 shots or something like that in the first quarter. They still should have won that game, which is a miracle in itself. I think one of the two, Brown or Tatum, I guess it's going to be Brown because Tatum's been kind of struggling of late, is going to be the Butcher. I think Kyrie gets his like he always does, but I don't think Kyrie getting 25 points is a Butcher. I think Kyrie getting 40 is, but if Kyrie gets 25, you've pretty much done your job. I just think, you know, one of those two wing guys will get a lot of looks at threes, and if they shoot 6 of 9 or 8 of 10 like Marcus Smart did when he played the pitch the last two times, they'll have a huge night.
That's a good one. I'm picking Terry Rozier. I know. beyond his game-winning dunk, that has nothing to do with the decision. This is mostly that Collison's not playing, and Joe Young's the backup point guard, and Rozier's pretty good and regimented in the way he plays. And he'll being guarded by a guy shorter than him, which is rare for Rozier, and less experienced and regimented, could be an easy chance for him to do good things.
Yeah, sorry for that noise I made, but that was just I don't like Terry Rozier. He fits like the boss type of player. I just don't like him, but that's mainly because of the steal he made, the great play he made. So just me.
Yeah, we can't really blame him for making a good. I don't know. He didn't like do anything wrong.
No, but boy, I made the mistake. But yes. Move on from that. We'll do scores at the end of this. So then let's move on to a Sunday matchup against the Knicks. The Knicks will be without Kristaps Porzingis, who tore his ACL last night in just a tragic play because
Porzingis is probably.
They made a trade for Willie Hernan Gomez.
They traded him away for 2 second-round picks.
They traded him away.
Yeah.
So they look like they're packing it in, going for that pick. They are actually not that far out. They're the 10th worst team in the league, but they're only, I think, 4 or 5 games outside being the worst. They obviously need another player anyways to go with Porzingis because the team is really lacking any talent outside Porzingis. So this could be a blessing in disguise long-term, like a kind of David Robinson incidence. But you feel for Porzingis just because he is probably, if not the number one, the number two best, you know, young prospect if you – you know, you take him and Kat as the two youngest guys in the league that really show a lot of promise. I mean, I know not really young too, but those two guys are like from the same class and are like
Embiid.
Embiid. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot about Embiid, but I still think Kristaps is a better prospect than Embiid, maybe just because Kristaps shooting is still pure. But, okay. Well, that's your opinion. It's still sad to see. Luckily, he's young. He'll recover probably, but, you know, his misfortune is the Pacers' fortune because they get to play the Knicks, who are a team without Porzingis, are probably one of the 8 worst teams in the league, if not one of the worst 5 worst teams roster-wise. They're not that good. So
didn't they not have Porzingis last time they played in Indy?
Yes, and they just rolled them for, I think it ended up being like a 15-point game, but they were up like 30 or 35 at one point.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
So, I mean, the only player the Pacers are really going to be afraid of is Enes Kanter, and honestly, he's not that scary, you know. He'll put up a lot of twos, and he's not like, you know, he's good around the rim shooting wise, but he's not like incredible. So, I mean, he might get 25 points. That might be it.
He just had mouth surgery the day we're recording too.
So does that mean he's not going to play probably either?
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, if he had mouth surgery, it takes a day.
His availability going forward is undetermined, so he's probably fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other guys to watch are Michael Beasley and Tim Hardaway Jr. Those are probably the two
other guys. Hardaway got hurt in their game last night, too. He hurt his shin.
So he's also debatable.
Michael Beasley.
Pretty lucky right now.
Yeah, both times they played the Knicks, they got lucky.
And then there's also the game where Glenn Robinson could possibly play.
Yes.
So, that in the mix, too.
Back home, playing against one of the most popular teams, maybe the most popular team in the league, is a good time to bring back a guy that your fans really like.
It is. And
it's the game I guessed when we heard his rehab assignment, so I want to be right.
you guessed? I thought you guessed he'd play by the Pelicans game because it's February 7th when we're recording this.
No, I guess the Knicks game because it was the second home game from his rehab assignment.
You're right. I thought you said when he first came in, he said a week, and this would be be on the Wednesday, but I guess you readjusted that to the Knicks.
I have the Twitter receipts, not the podcast receipts.
All right, whatever.
I agree. Michael Beasley is going to be due for a good game because he's going to get like 35 minutes a night, and all he does is score.
That's true, but it should be one of those games where the Pacers roll. You know, they do that thing where they just jump out to a huge lead because everybody's scoring. You might not see a big game out of Vic just because if everybody's scoring, he tends to stay low. But you can see a pretty even distribute of like maybe six or seven guys in double figures at least, hopefully. Butcher-wise, you said Beasley.
Beasley, yes.
Right, Beasley, probably. Tim Hardaway Jr. had a big game last time. Two times they played them when they next came back and won. So that's a possibility, but you know, I don't foresee this being that close of a game.
I don't either, especially if Hardaway Jr. doesn't play, because then, you know, they're starting people you've never heard of before. So that would be devastating. And without Ron Baker, their two guards would be like Damian Dotson and nobody, basically.
Yeah, it's as much as it helps the Pacers, it's sad when a team loses their best player because it really kind of it's not even good players we've lost this season already, and it just. It makes these games less interesting, to be honest. You know, it's as much as like not having to play Boogie, not having to play Porzingis, figuring out the guy that you didn't have to, or not have to play John Wall is good for the Pacers. It makes these games less fun because it's you want to see the best players play the Pacers because it's just fun. It's good for the league.
Yes, I would like to see all the best players playing every game. All these injuries are just killing me.
Yeah, but it's what it is, and hopefully the Pacers can take advantage of it because. They're the sixth seed as we proposed on a Wednesday. I think they're tied for it or half a game up. I keep every day it changes because this 3-6 are pretty close. Cleveland has fallen down, so they really have a real shot at the three seed. I mean, Cleveland just keeps losing. So you need them. We want them to get to maybe 45 to 48 wins might be the three seed in the East.
Oh, they're not going to get to 48. No way.
No, but they could get to 45.
They could get to 45. I agree. But I don't think that'll get to three. I think the three will be probably like 48, 49.
So to get to 48, the Cavs would have to win 18 of their next 30. Very distinct possibility. But they've lost, I think, like 18 or 20.
If they make a trade, they'll have it for sure.
But the question is, will the chemistry throw it off where they will lose a bunch more in a row before they figure it out? The Wizards would have to – Wizards have got 28 games left. They have to go 17 and 11 without Wall for a good stretch.
They're 5-0 so far.
Yeah, no, they're probably the best bet. And then the Bucks would have to go 18-11. Yeah, they're one more loss. So and Pacers played the most games of any of these teams, so that's why they have 30 wins. But I don't know. I mean, if Pacers win 45 games, they beat last year's record. I know it's a different year, but that's awesome. I mean, to trade away your best player to technically be in a rebuilder and win 45 games. I mean, you're doing something right.
It's crazy. It's literally crazy. Especially when I don't know, just like the improvements have just been unbelievable.
And it's one of those things where it doesn't look fake. Where like, you know, with the Phoenix Suns that one year that won 48 games, you could see that not being a real thing because they were taking advantage of these weird three-guard lineups of Isaiah, Goran Dragic, and was Bledsoe the third guard?
They had those three, but no, that year it was Brandon Knight. Remember, they'd already traded Dragic.
They won 48 games.
Sorry. They traded Dragic that year during the year.
That was the next year. You're wrong. You're off.
Maybe I'm wrong.
They won 48 games with those three guys. Right.
You're correct.
And that was really nobody knew that Isaiah. No, they missed it by a game. But that was the barometer for like unexpectedly winning a ton of games type of teams is that team because that team people had it winning like 20 games and they won. 48. So
I would say it's the 56 win Knicks who won 30 something before and haven't won more than 40 cents.
But they had Carmelo, so you could. It was like a
Roy Hibbert ruined them.
Yes, I tell my Knicks friends that tease them that Roy Hibbert ruined the best team of your Knicks when you were alive. You know, I'm only 20, so most of them are so my age, and that's the best Knicks team they had, basically, I can remember. But like I was saying, it seems more sustainable because Pacers have more young talent who is still going to be on the team. And Vic doesn't seem like Vic seems like he's turned a corner in his career. So it's more sustainable and it puts them in contention for another for a big name guy if they kind of can show we're the young up and coming team, like, you know, Denver was last year. The Pacers could be that team.
For sure. And then they're one piece away from something and they have all their picks and it's good.
Yeah, especially if Glenn comes back healthy and is decent, they'll have four pieces under the age of 26.
Yeah. I agree. Five, maybe. How much do you like TJ Leaf?
Oh, that's right. I wasn't counting Leaf. I was just counting Robinson, Vic.
So I agree. That's smart.
Yeah, and they'll have cap space, and they won't have traded their picks. So I mean, they're in a good position to possibly make a move if a star comes available or something like that. They have a lot of options, which is always good.
TJ Leaf is something. He's not nothing.
Oh no, he's not nothing. Let's see.
You should do a pod over the All-Star break recapping his season so far. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not extremely high on him. I think his ceiling is, you know, off the bench, power forward, backup, stretch four, maybe plays a little three somehow. But I don't think his ceiling is like can be a starting power forward in this league kind of thing. I just don't see that way. I see him as being a really good off the bench 3-point shooter. Similar to like where Bojan is in the league, except for a power forward almost.
That'd be nice. That'd be a good ceiling for him to have.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not a knock. I mean, being a Bojan Bogdanovic means you're one of the best, I don't know, 100 players in the world.
Wayne Ellington, but a power forward would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Bojan is probably one of the best 100, 150 players in the whole world. So it's not a knock.
Right.
It's just not, you know, when you look around at where they're picking.
Bojan's a starter on the sixth best team in the conference.
Yeah, and they missed on the problem. Problem is they really missed on OG Anunoby, who I think is going to be like has a higher ceiling at least long term.
Yeah, if he can ever score off the dribble, man, everyone's screwed for not picking him.
Yeah, or Kyle Kuzma, like those are guys who are like have a ceiling higher than Leaf, but they did what they did, and they thought they needed a power forward at the time. They really didn't in hindsight, but they felt they did because they didn't know they were getting Sabonis. So and they made a good move in that trade. We got the Thunder to throw in Sabonis because they thought Sabonis stunk, and Sabonis clearly doesn't stink. Sabonis is a really good young power forward slash center with a lot of potential. Sabonis has a ton of potential. Just, you know, with the 3-point shot and his defense, he can get a ton better, and it would make him a lethal power forward.
I love that the Knicks game is going to be so boring. We're talking about not the Knicks game already.
Oh, it's going to be extremely boring. I'm going to watch it because I have Knicks fan roommates, but I mean, once they leave the room, the Knicks are down 20. I'll probably just turn the channel. I don't have a need to keep watching them blow them out. Then the last time they played the Knicks, when they blew them out by like 30, I watched the first.
They were 30 in the second quarter. Yeah, they murdered them.
Yeah, I think I might have had it on, and I was just not paying attention to it. I was just writing something or whatever.
That was brutal.
Yeah. It is, but it's all right. We'll
be there with you for every step of the way.
Yeah, and there'll be more good games to talk about next week.
I'm really glad no trades happened during this recording.
I'm glad too. I don't think there's any move the Pacers make really. I mean, I just.
Well, you'll already know by the time you're listening what all happened.
Yeah, and if there is a major trade, we'll have to do an emergency podcast. I'm flying on Thursday, so it'll be kind of rough. But we'll figure it out if something major happens.
I'll drive home from work. I'll talk really fast. It'll be great.
Yeah, what we could do like a late midnight Thursday post Friday show. I don't know. We can figure it out. But you got anything else for today's show? You want to promote anything? I know you're doing a lot of writing.
I am good. I have to write stuff. So
yeah, Tony's a lot of stuff coming out. I just wrote an article that posted on Indie Cornrows. We have noticed a huge uptick in our downloads. So thanks to all the people that are listening out there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
On iTunes, everyone replying to us on Twitter, liking the show, telling your friends everything. It's helped so much. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and I think especially now that the NFL season is officially over, we're going to get another boost. I think there are a lot of – I mean, I know with the Colts, we're not talking about the Colts, but a lot of stuff going on there, and I think the Indianapolis fans are going to switch more to the Pacers now that it really is almost playoff time. And I'm really excited to be able to do this podcast during the playoff time, especially because I thought for sure coming here I wasn't going to get to do a playoff Pacers, so this is really exciting. Like I said, you can follow Tony at TEASTNBA, me at FreedomAdam5, and you follow our show at Locked On Pacers. We respond to basically anybody who asks us. We respond to. We like, you know, we engage with our listeners, so we really enjoy that. Keep doing that. That's it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.